On this episode, we talk about a faith-based surveillance company. It's not just Jesus watching you.
How much weed we all smoke. The sheer amount may surprise you.
And your favorite St. Louis mayor takes to the streets with a musket.
I'm Colin.
I'm David.
I'm Bradley.
And this is Overarching.
Join us, Midwestern family, as we participate in The Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to Gregory FX Daily, the one to whom we owe it all, and to our taxes, which we prefer to not be wasted on things, including but not limited to embezzlement, vanity projects, no-bid contracts, destroying historic neighborhoods past and present, tax increment financing that only serves to enrich out-of-state corporations instead of serving the local community, and leading militias of armed Confederate soldiers to break up union organizing. 1% to the god of yellow envelopes ignored by all.
How about some Dorf beer, gentlemen?
Dorf?
I like it.
Dunkel.
I don't think you can find much of a better Dunkel in St. Louis than this.
Best Dunkel outside of Germany, I hear. Best Dunkel outside of the Dunkel region.
I'm pretty sure they've got good
Dunkel. Is Dunkel a region?
Dunkel is not a region.
Is it just a brown beer if it's not made in the Dunkel region?
It's just dark.
It's sparkling dunk.
Dunkel is dark.
I'm a big fan of dark lagers. It's
three white people with facial hair like craft beer and will tell you about it. You heard there's like bubbles?
Have you ever heard three white dudes liking beer try to defend themselves? Mm. Oh, wait.
Some stuff happened because this is what stuff does. It happens. And it was in the news.
We should make a segment about it.
I think we are. Oh. This is a new segment called At the Time of Recording. Crime. Reduction.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Crazy.
I was going to ironically cheer crime. I'm cheering crime.
Reduction. Crime in 2023, down 22%. This is overall part one crimes. That's murder, sexual assault, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, felony theft, and auto theft, which is crazy considering the
that's
Kia.
That's all anybody's been in the headlines about recently.
90% Hyundais and Kias.
Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, Kia and Hyundai's fault. But the 22% down overall, all those crimes compared with 2022. The individual reductions in those crime categories were a 39% reduction in felony theft, 19% decrease in auto theft, 12% decrease in burglaries, 11% reduction in robbery incidents, 6% reduction in aggravated assaults. The police chief, this is all according to the police chief, he said, while these numbers provide us an opportunity to celebrate some progress, there remains much work to be done and a great deal of progress to make as we enter another year.
How did we do this? How did we succeed? Did we just decide to stop doing crimes or?
You know what the police chief also didn't really say? That. But it happened.
He's the former police chief of Wilmington, Delaware. Okay, give the guy some slack, all right? You know what happens in Wilmington. It's Wilmington, right? I swear, if it's Dover. It's the one of two cities in Delaware, all right? Okay.
Is there anything in any of these reports or this reporting that suggests why these crime stats are down?
I genuinely think, like, when there are more people in public spaces and there are more things happening in public spaces, the crime just goes down. Like, it's just
if there are more eyes on the street, if there's more.
Wait. Are you trying to segue right now?
I'm foreshadowing.
Okay. We're foreshadowing. All yeah, right. sure.
According to Five on Your Side.
The Gannett Company?
They interviewed this guy from University of Missouri, from UMSL. He literally says, I'm not discounting the possibility that St. Louis is doing something right. But there would be a stronger case, and this is actually good news, that there would be a stronger case for that if St. Louis is one of the few cities experiencing declines, but that the majority of the cities are experiencing declines, which is true because Baltimore's down 22%, New Orleans is 24%, Pittsburgh is 29%, Phoenix, Philadelphia, New York City's even down 10%, Milwaukee's down 24%, Nashville's down marginally as well.
Which is good news across the board, and honestly, like, explains why the police, it's a explanation as to why the police chief gave an absolute non-quote in reference to that, because like, he can't really claim responsibility for it because it's just, it's not for that. But yeah, it's a general trend, so you know, you can't just say like I did it.
I think that backs up what I'm saying a little bit more though too. Like more people are going places now. Like 2023,
people were going places before though. And
No. Like what I'm saying is
they were led poison then though.
We just had a full year where people weren't like freaked out about COVID.
Sure. The question to back this up is there a significant uptick in these categories around the pandemic that's been dropping off post pandemic?
I also think there's just more restaurants, more options, more businesses opening up in 2023 as well, because all the crap closing things down. There's just more options for people to go out.
That's a take. I don't know.
I don't know if it's true. It just seems like a logical.
It doesn't sound like anybody knows what's true.
Who knows? Who can say? Although I do think,
who's to say?
I do think we can take a note off of that quote of much left to be done. I mean, like things that we can do. I mean, you know, we're always in the pledge talking about how we want our tax dollars to be spent. You know, just like on citizen services that are going to, you know, benefit folks. You know, like so much crime is opportunity, or you know, extra stress of being, you know, in poverty. So I think if we can invest in social services that are going to, you know, get people in housing, keep people employed, give folks the resources they need to live, you know, more full lives. And
that sounds great.
That's a fantastic idea.
But what if drones?
Drones.
Drones, actually. What if it was drones? What if it was drones?
Ooh, drones. So you're talking about like robot Amazon delivery stuff so that, you know, we can take people and...
At the time of recording, a filmmaker wants to put Gravoy Park under drone surveillance. This Washington, D.C.-based filmmaker named, and it's misquoted in the RFT article, because why wouldn't they? They said it's Joe Johnson. His name is Jomo Johnson, Jomo K. Johnson, a filmmaker based in Washington, D.C.
His name is Jomo.
He has this
people have names.
He has we don't make fun of people's names here.
No, it's a good one.
Unless they're really profoundly weird people.
Okay.
This company that he runs, SMS Novel, is the company that does these, they're like selling this surveillance drone service that like basically in an app you can request a drone to come surveil your house for some kind of subscription, and they're trying to put these in cities. What's happening in Gravoy Park, or what they want to happen in Gravoy Park, it hasn't happened yet because the city has been pushing back, and the neighbors especially have been pushing back, is it's this beta test that like they didn't really ask any of the citizens about to opt in. It was just like, we're going to do it and surveil people. And of course they like, you know, they asked the board and whoever, and it's like, it's crazy. But anyway,
this has been going on for a few weeks, news story broke today. Yeah. Like this morning,
the RFT article I just read came out December 13th, but there's been developments on it.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
Cause like you say, okay, drone surveillance, my mind immediately goes to like, okay, a company wants to do this. They're like trying to get contracts with local law enforcement to like do this. So you're saying this is an app. So it's like the Uber of getting security cameras not installed, but just like floating around your house.
Correct. It's the same thing a Ring camera does, except it flies. The company that Jomo K. John
SMS Novel.
It's called SMS Novel.
So like a text that my mom sends me.
It's an SMS Novel. Sorry for the SMS Novel. For the Gen Zers watching out there.
It's G9.
SMS.
No.
That's what a text message is really called.
Do we know what SMS stands for, though?
No clue.
No, nobody knows.
Never
Standard
knew.
Messaging System Syntax?
Ian?
Just put it up there. We'll find out later.
Gen X, what does it stand for?
SMS Novel is a faith-based film company.
What faith, Colin?
Oh, we're
I'll
going.
Give you three guesses, and the we're first gonna, two don't count.
We're gonna. This is where the rabbit hole begins. Listen to their mission statement, real quick. At SMS Novel, we are more than a small film company. our faith-based studio transforms viewing into a role-playing journey, while our on-demand drone app provides on-demand drone service for security, events, or creativity. Join us in the journey to make the world a more creative, safe, and productive place. It's Skynet Jesus.
It's got, oh, great band name.
Skynet Jesus, yeah, take it.
Or just like an album. Spirit in the Skynet.
Thank you, Enid. Thank you, Enid.
So the homepage is bizarre. I cannot overstate enough. This company is hawking surveillance drones on demand for civilian use. The first thing on their homepage is
it's a college drone.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you just say like, I feel suspicious. Beep boop 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 boop.
Yes.
Drone, please.
And that service has been advertised in one of these articles for $3.99 a month. And I want you to keep that in mind because we have something later.
Okay.
But this, their homepage is bizarre. They're advertising this coming week. At the time of recording, this is January 9th. From January 12th to 14th, you can meet at any local Starbucks and have your life story written as a book this weekend. Includes free publishing. And they have this video of this woman standing on a green screen of a Starbucks.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what does that have to do with any of this?
Not enough time. the next one down is now we can produce an interactive narrated film using your film idea, or join a live SMS pop-up filming this weekend in a city near you and star in a local movie. There's no punctuation in that sentence.
Great.
I want to specifically hang out with this person one-on-one so bad.
It's wild. They have clips of these movies. One is called 77 Days Before Jesus Returns.
How many?
When is that set?
Hold on. 70 how many?
77.
77
and it's
days.
It's an interactive, I'm assuming that like you can click your way through these videos and like till the time Jesus returns, but it's a mildly distressing. There's another video where it does. I'm not going to play it. It starts with this very distressing 911 call from like a child, overlaid by text that is like, you know, you would put like a quote from like Socrates or a quote from like a president or something at the top of like this is
setting, Mark Twain.
Yeah, setting the context for this. You know, I'm putting a quote up here to juxtapose the irony of the...
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, there you go. It's a quote from Jomo K. Johnson.
The guy who runs this.
The guy who runs the company. Not as the founder.
Hold on. Do you think this is literally a one-man operation?
I do think that because there is... I mean, there are pictures of other people on this website.
Okay.
And they seem to...
Are they willing to do this, or are they just being like,
are they just going out there and doing it?
Yeah. So this is what's like, so far, the services this company provides is on-demand drone surveillance because like something's happening or you feel weird around and you want to like, you know, you don't want to peek out your window. You want a drone to do it for you. Or you can go to a Starbucks and someone will write a book about you.
Yes.
Yep. Or you can have them make a movie about you. Is this just like a grift focused on like how do we extract money from narcissists?
One of these things is not like the other.
You're forgetting the most important thing they stand for. You can call them at any time and they will have prayer warriors like at your doorstep. You're going to get on a prayer warrior email list.
A grift targeted at extracting money from narcissists?
So that leads us to the inconsistencies on their website, which is wild. And I have to say it again. This is a company that wants to be contracted by cities and civilians living in these cities to surveil them using drones. So this website and this business model is wild. It's wild considering
you're missing something incredible here. You're missing something incredible. My wife and I want to go out on the town for like 3 hours that night, and we don't want to pay for a babysitter.
Drone babysitter.
Because, you know, like, I'm just saying, I would feel so comfortable just leaving my kid at home with just a drone.
A drone. That would be cooler. I'm picturing
a Jedi babysitter.
Wait, picturing your son. Mm-hmm. Can I say son's name?
Yeah.
Because it's diegetic.
It is diegetic
to the city.
You could say
your
fine.
Son, Louis. Do you know how to say your son's name?
I don't know.
Okay.
Someday it's Louis. Someday it's Lou. Someday it's Louis. Someday it's LJ. Someday it's, you know, all the other things.
I'm picturing the drone like sitting on the hovering on the couch and then like picking him up with like the Amazon delivery claws and like rock-a-bye.
No.
Rock-a-bye baby says, like, on treetop.
It just says a big boy. Big boy. It just says big boy.
It's like specifically big boy. Like specifically the TikTok like text to speech like
big boy.
Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I need to get to some things. So, okay. I'm gonna blow through this.
Let's rip through.
One of the other things they offer on their website that isn't the drone surveillance services or the make your own movies about your life is a 4-week in-person drone training that's in 25 cities, according to the website. These are $99 a piece. They're an hour and 30 minutes, and they're actually only in 13 cities. So,
aspirationally,
you can just get your drone license from the FAA for very cheap and do it for much faster.
Correct.
It's not false advertising if it's aspirational.
That's really good of you.
That's a really
what a kind thing to say about this.
It's beautiful. In the articles, this is the most egregious thing for me, other than before we get into Jomo K. Johnson himself. In the articles somewhere, it talks about this could be as low as $3.99 a month, like $3.99 a month for this service. And like the way it is you have this app and you like you're supposed to be able to request a drone and then it shows up within 60 minutes, which is slower than the cops even by St. Louis standards. But on their website, like on the screen grab that they use on their website as advertisement, this is the way it goes. You have the app, you request the drone, it sends you back a quote for how much that drone's going to cost. And in the promotional footage on their website, it says that the drone is going to cost $83 a month. Wait, no. A week. Wait, no. $83 an hour.
So you're paying $3.99 a month for the privilege to get a quote anytime.
To get a quote for $83 an hour in the best case scenario, because that's the advertisement that they use on their website.
That's a very flawed business. That's way too expensive for a babysitter. Hey,
At the very least, we can say that they are, hopefully, that translates to they are paying their skilled pilots a living wage.
What if they become they become intelligent and they want to form a union? Do they go on a drone strike?
Thank you, David.
That's very good. In one of these articles, there's a quote from the founder, Jomo K. Johnson, that it says, "We'll seek to practice our liberty to fly drones and take footage. That's our right."
Roll credits, baby. Roll credits.
Didn't it say something in the article talking about, it's our liberty?
Yeah. We'll seek to practice our liberty to fly drones.
Thank you for... I was that's what I thought. Okay.
And so...
can you imagine, a private company is as a corporation... It's our liberty to do this.
Nah, man. I think you're misunderstanding what that word means.
No. Dog. We got the Gadsden flag flying that says we can dump toxic waste into this creek behind your house.
It's our liberty.
It's cold water.
So, Jomo K. Johnson, completely normal dude.
Why isn't his name Mojo?
Right, just reverse it. So, Mojo. I don't want to disparage this man that I do not know.
Nope. That'd be mean.
His company is weird. And I want to make a case for why I think that this is a one-person operation.
Okay.
Because, frankly, you know, I've made a mistake or two when it comes to, sharing a link, and it's the wrong link. Fly North Theatricals is you know, oftentimes just Bradley and I trying our best. Yeah, and we make mistakes, too.
We've both had instances where either one of us will text the other person saying, "Hey, this is wrong. Can you fix it?"
Yes. So Jomo Johnson has this Instagram that, frankly, the last post is from 2019, so it's not that relevant. But I think it speaks to him a little bit.
Those were easier times.
It's called Church for Black Men, which I'm not going to touch, but there is a link to a website of his creation, www.blackmen.church. Not going to touch the subject matter. Right. However, I am going to touch the link because I'm going to click it. And it goes to not www.blackmen.church. It goes to a website called nastywomengetshitdone.com. Any guesses as to what this website is about?
Nastywomengetshitdone.com. Kansas City done.
Any guesses as to what nastywomengetshitdone.com is?
It's like librarians.
And it sounds like some like a feminist, like we think about like the like it's like a Hillary Clinton feminism, like, you know, oh, the nasty women, you know, like taking the Trump thing and
I'm sticking to
nasty
librarians.
Women and it sounds like an activist, you know, feminist activist kind of thing, maybe.
Crochet.
A librarians is close.
Which wait, remember like 10 years ago when there was like the pink knitted hats,
they're still having cat ears. Still a thing.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yes. The pussycat ear hats.
Don't call it that.
They were called that without the cat. I was trying to make it. We can.
No, don't strike it.
It was a social feminist movement that involved knitting and or crochet.
This is true.
And it was a reaction to Trump's whole ish.
Oh, that's true.
And yeah. So, but at any rate,
and I see why they called it that.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
There was reasoning.
I apologize for my previous statements. About maps, and now
I can't believe you were wrong about maps. Yeah, that one's insane.
But so the wrap up to this story is today, like while we were doing the research and putting this story together, the Board of Public Service sent a cease and desist letter to Jomo Johnson, CEO of SMS Novel, telling him that he need to apply for a permit to fly over city parks and in rights of way, aka streets.
Yep.
So,
but I feel like we already knew that was coming.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, because it's bonkers.
Yeah. If you look, hold on. If you look at the FAA flight restrictions map, there are in the city limits of St. Louis, there are areas around where you can like fly them at certain levels, like at heights, right? And the fact that I don't know exactly what level it is for over Gravois Park, but it'd be ridiculous for anybody to assume that he wouldn't, like, the company wouldn't have to get, like, a crap ton of permits beforehand.
Also, let's just bring it, let's substitute it with an analog thing for a second. What if I were to hire a private security guard to walk around and just look in people's houses and call it a beta test? That would be bananas.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah, if you're like, we got 24 guys in golf carts and uniforms, just like rolling around the neighborhood, just like being, you know, looking around, baby.
And then they get out of the car and they go and they see you in your house. And they're like, I'm surveilling. I'm a professional. Tell me your life story.
Hey, you want to go to a Starbucks real quick?
Cool. Well,
what an incredible story.
Nice. Good on the city for getting that C&D out there.
But like, there's satellites monitoring all the crap we're doing at all times in the sky.
Hey, so, you know, you get what you can take what you can get.
And in our pockets. So,
also,
here we go.
Also, at the time of recording, nearly half of Missouri social equity marijuana license applicants were from out of state. This is a headline from the Missouri Independent. Three companies, one from Michigan, one from Arizona, and one from Missouri, appeared on Connect to 43% of applications. But there are some from California, Michigan, Louisiana, Arizona, collectively. Basically, state of Missouri, we've got adult use marijuana now. You know, if you want to sell marijuana, you got to have a license to do it. And so we had set up a program for social equity licenses. Good thing, basically says, hey, marijuana is going to be big business. And if we're going to enter into this, you know, land of it not being a criminal activity anymore, let's recognize the history of marijuana and law enforcement and incarceration and say, we want to earmark a subset of those licenses for folks who have been historically marginalized, particularly in relation to marijuana or just kind of in general. Huh. So there's like 48 of these total licenses that are set aside for these social equity licenses. So the way it works is like
So far, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, which and it's good. And so
yeah, I'm tracking.
You qualify under like one of several eligibilities. So you have like a low net worth, low income eligibility, a disability eligibility. If you have been, or like your parent or your child, or like you're like directly related to somebody who has like a non-felony marijuana conviction, you qualify. And then there's like specific.
If you or a loved one has ever been a victim of the law enforcement department over the freaking weed, call us now.
It's not a mesothelioma commercial.
If you reside in specific zip codes, or if you graduated from specific unaccredited school districts with your diploma, so like, you know, any one of those, you can qualify for this. Now,
waiting for the hammer.
What happened?
This is a big setup.
What happened? And then like of all the applicants, you know, they do like a lottery system out of all the qualified applicants. Over 6,000 applications came in, and like
it's pretty good.
Hundreds and thousands of these are from like out of state large corporations, or like these like specific, like these are specifically like, you know, someone said, hey, marijuana is getting legalized a lot of places. Let's set up basically venture capital to find inroads into how we can invest in these situations. Now, one of the there was when the law first passed as a constitutional amendment in Missouri, because Missouri is weird and we have a lot of things have to pass by constitutional amendment.
It's called
protecting the Constitution.
It's something like that.
It's sacred and holy.
That's called liberty.
Yeah.
Well, it's called an inability for anything that the people want to get legislated, so the people will just propose amendments.
The American way, damn it.
Yeah, the system works. But there was...
No, the system twerks.
Hey.
It better.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're not allowed to say that. That was interesting.
At any rate...
You felt yourself in that moment. Let him be.
Right.
Don't bring that.
You know what? As long as you were feeling beautiful when you did it.
Yeah.
Can you make a reverse spell?
So at any rate, when this law was passed as a constitutional amendment, there was a residency requirement within the state of Missouri that wound up getting struck down by a judge, which opened this up to some of the stuff.
I'm fine with the idea.
Like all great American progress stories, it's because some judge put a loophole in the goddamn law and opened up a floodgate for bullshit.
Yeah. So it's wild. So basically there are a bunch of companies out there within and without of the state that are like, we can help you apply for your, you know, equity license. We can do this. And they're like, okay, we're going to, you know, basically finagle their way into these applications, or they're going to flood. And that's the other thing, is it's a lottery system. So if you are a large corporation who, even if you're like doing the research to find eligible people and say, I'm going to invest in 49% of your business.
Wow.
And help you through that process. Now you have, you know, expanded your percentage to the person, you know, let's look at the eligibility. If we have someone who grew up in a specifically historically disadvantaged zip code, or graduated from an unaccredited high school, or has a disability, or is, you know, a victim of the system with a non-felony marijuana crime, and they're like, hey, here's an opportunity for me to do right by my community, for me to take, you know, to me to do hard work and live the American dream. I've got an even chance compared to everybody to put my name in the hat and get the opportunity to run this business legit.
Yeah.
You do not have an equal opportunity to do that because of bullshit like this. And you want to know what's worse? Also from the Missouri Independent, this was reported on in October. Applicants recruited on Craigslist competed for Missouri social equity cannabis licenses. Michigan company offers to pay eligible people to enter state lotteries meant to boost opportunities in disadvantaged communities, but the company's contracts force applicants to relinquish all control and profits.
Sneaky Michigan.
Predatory bullshit.
Dude, Michigan sneaks up on you. Every once in a while, they do some cool Michigan shit.
It's the company that's from based in Michigan.
I know, but it's...
And so the other headline from last month was that the Missouri is probably going to revoke 11 of these 48 rewarded licenses due to eligibility issues. So, like, there is... some, you know, they're looking back at the process, they're looking back at things and trying to make things right. But just the simple fact that the vetting has happened after the fact and there was no safeguard for this, you know, massive oversaturation through, you know, having lots of money to throw at systems that aren't that robust in order to benefit yourself. Man,
you know what they say? It's pure Michigan.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Surprisingly good beaches, surprisingly predatory business practices.
Here's the thing about weed. Like back in the day, you used to have to travel. By the way, I've only taken one puff of weed in my life. Fun fact about me.
You're so good.
That's
David.
Not what I'm saying.
You're so better.
I'm just letting people in on my comments so they can understand.
You just became very unlikable.
Great. I have nothing against it. I'd be glad to do it sometime again. How about that? It's not a thing.
I got friends who smoke weed.
No.
My father's a joint.
I think it's more predatory that you're doing this to me right now. All right? Respect people's wishes to live their lives. You munchkin.
You know who's all right. You know who's never taken a puff of weed?
How? Who?
Me.
Have you not, though?
I really haven't.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm like this. Naturally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, anyways. But at least Colin's not virtue signaling about it, David. Anyway.
Good one. Anyways, like back in the day, you used to like have to travel to get weed or like have this whole very, very difficult process to get weed. Now it's a different, difficult process. It's still difficult. It's a whole difficult process.
Let's call up someone who buys weed regularly and ask them how difficult it was before the laws and how difficult it is now.
I'm talking about like in like the friggin'.
I too have only really encountered weed directly to my body once, and even then like was really drunk and passed out after. Anyways,
man, so
like,
we're dorks.
We're all a bunch of squares. But David, I worked at Jimmy John's. It's not hard to get weed in the before times.
But it is crazy that how the culture.
I was trying to make a joke and I just
and now we've exposed ourselves as absolute dorks. But have you heard of craft beer?
Have you heard of dorfs?
It is crazy how the culture around it has changed. I mean, I grew up in Florida and it was the same as anywhere. You know, you had to know a guy that knew a guy, and it was that, and it was a whole process.
That's what I'm saying.
But like now, I mean, I know I got friends who smoke weed, and it really is just a matter of like, I'm going to walk down to the dispensary. Like you're walking down to the liquor store, you're walking down to the convenience store to get something. And that to think of how fast that happened,
it changed. You
know, it was it's wild. I mean, like marijuana when we were in high school was a class one drug.
Isn't that crazy?
I knew people. I tell this story a lot when I talk about like, well, I lived in Section 8 housing. That when I did live in Section 8 housing in the Grove, I knew one of those instances was on my block where like mom was living there and son was was a convicted felon for marijuana possession. And like literally couldn't help mom into the house with groceries because you can't be a convicted felon and be in Section 8 housing.
Like even be present.
Like, according to I mean, like, I don't know. I haven't done research on that, but that is what I was told from my neighbors at that time.
Tangent.
It's a wild story.
But it's like, that's the kind of, and that's just one of like, you know, millions. We are not qualified to talk about the experiences of marginalized populations when it comes to marijuana convictions and possession and whatnot. It's like the reason we filled the jails, but now it's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go down to the corner. And get me some weeds.
Reaganomics could also just be weedonomics.
I mean, like, the war on drugs is basically the war on weed.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really care about crack.
No. Yeah. They still don't.
Right. I mean, it's like, they let neighborhoods rot. You know, they let populations rot that did crack. But weed, put them in jail.
But yeah, it's one of those things, like, this really gets me going because it is, like, it's a situation where good intentions get, you know, derailed by flawed design that's exploited by people with outsized power through outsized economic holdings. You know, just send me a Google invite for whenever the revolution is. I'll be there.
Bradley. I'm genuinely interested in this process.
Let's light up a big fat blunt for socialism. Am I right?
Karl Marx party animal.
It's time for that classic segment. 3-1-4-2-5 3-1-4-2-5 is the love child of a top five and a tier list. Today's topic?
Mayors.
St. Louis mayors. We're specifically keeping the list to not include current ones or even anyone's there.
Are these mayors dead?
Former still alive. Yeah.
You can be on the list.
We want to make sure that the list is bookended by folks whose legacies are more or less sealed.
We're not going to talk about Tashar. She's not even done with her term.
Yeah, and it's like some of these people too.
About Slay.
We're talking about these people in terms of their holistic life, most notably in their mayoral service. But some of these people include stuff that happened in the rest of their life. People who are still alive have not lived their entire life yet. If they were a crappy mayor, they might be a good person and they could spend the rest of their life making up for it. And they would climb up this list in theory, but they're not here because they're still alive.
If you're asking about Shermel, still alive, by the way, held office when he was like 35 years old.
If you're asking about Slay, still alive.
Well, I mean, people kind of assumed that one.
Well, our number one, hopefully, is alive. And you'll find out after this.
Yes.
Number three. Mr. Henry Keel.
Keel.
The first Opera House American mayor.
Yeah.
the first American mayor to have an opera house named after him?
That in my head, that was like segmented, like first Slovakian American, first Opera House American mayor.
Yeah. Now known as the Stiefel. Then previously, before that, the Peabody.
And then the St. Louis Municipal Auditorium. I catch the 94 out there sometimes, right in front of it. There's a quote. There's some pretty wild quotes on the side of it etched in. There's one from Woodrow Wilson talking about, like, how if we bring people together, there will be no division. And it's like, oh, well, oops.
And good work on walking that talk, Woodrow Wilson.
For real.
Oh, boy.
I mean, so he's buildings. What did he do?
Buildings, straight up. He was an architect.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah. He was an architect and then was a well-known contractor. Well, you know, his dad was like the big contractor guy. And then he went into the construction industry. I'm pretty sure his dad was like, please go into the construction industry because you're kind of a architect. Contractor genius, please go this direction. So he went.
So three being mid.
Yes.
Like he, what were the good things he did? All involved a lot of construction, a lot of development.
Yes. So he was part of the development of the municipal auditorium
and the downtown area. Generally,
area.
So all the stuff that's from around that same time period is a lot due to Keel, and that's a good thing.
Yes. So in the biggest thing he is known for is the $83 million bond issue in 1923 for the city of St. Louis.
But why is he?
He's not really this. He kind of is. Let's just say the things that I don't love is he was the first mayor in St. Louis. Back then, mayors had a lot more power than they do now. Let's make that clear.
We have literally what is called a weak mayor system now. That is literally the name of what the system is called, a weak mayor system.
The Board of Aldermen have more power. The president of the Board of Aldermen, Megan Green, has more power than Tashara Jones does currently. Anyways, he was in office in the early 1900s, 1917, hold on, 1913 to 1925. But he was the reason we have zoning laws in St. Louis. He created the first zoning laws in St. Louis. Mind you, these were kind of like itty-bitty baby zoning laws in comparison to what the frick we have today. But he was the catalyst.
Something I pulled up just now that's not on Wikipedia that's kind of significant and I think might demonstrate the good and about Keel. This is from LafayetteSquareArchives.com, so I'm sure it's cited. So I'm sure it's fine. But he signed the legislation in 1913 providing for a zoological board and giving them like the 70 acres within Forest Park, which would eventually become the St. Louis Zoo.
Did he really?
And yes. And so, but also, they named a monkey in the zoo Henry Keel.
How did he feel about that?
Well, it says here, in what must be considered an unlikely form of tribute. but the fact that the chimpanzee entertained crowds with a tightrope act and eating with utensils, you know, is it kind of one of those things like, oh yeah, like it's hard for anybody who lived between the 1870s and the 1940s to be a good dude because treatment of animals, treatment of people, overall, like, you know, patriarchy stuff and racism stuff like you could be a great dude and probably racist because the world's pretty racist.
You could pretty much say America, 1913. Sums it up pretty good. Yeah. Number one, our favorite mayor of all time.
Let's talk about
favorite
some of, like,
mayor of all time.
What are some of your favorite achievements? I mean, one, zero corruption, like scandal free. Period.
Yeah. Young, part hip, progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and like also
an
like,
actual train,
literal train.
Yeah. You know,
the Siemens train.
Well, it's wild because like they had so much like public policy knowledge of like what's actually going to have effective, solid outcomes. And they were able to effectively communicate that in a way that felt populist enough to gain the support of everyone without needing massive funding from large corporations. Truly, the people's mayor.
And they were able to communicate all these progressive ideas in a way that was salient to the less progressive people in the community and got them on board with their ideas.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. These times that haven't happened yet. Number one is yet. We're still waiting.
We're still waiting.
No one on this list is like... is good enough.
Every single one of these mayors has been a politician and not like a real person for some reason.
Politician, the word politician, yeah. Is like, it gets under my skin. My family was, you know, involved in politics. That we have come to know that word as basically a synonym for like huckster, grimy person.
Yeah.
Because it is, and that's fair. But like a politician should be someone that is involved with policy. That's right. Literally all the word right. means.
Literally what it means.
It should be a policy expert working in the public service.
And yes. This person and or train would Gosh. be doing that.
Yeah.
Would be enacting Thomas. Policy for the better of for the betterment of everybody. And also not Thomas, Percy, all day.
He's, Percy.
He's trapped in that tunnel to this
I
day.
I am Team Percy, man. I had that green
Justice
train.
Justice for Percy.
I had that green train.
I was both Bill and Ben for Halloween one year.
And that's amazing.
The one side was the Bill, yellow one side trains. Was Ben. Yeah, and then on the inside, I wrote poop. I was
did
three.
You really, though?
Yeah, I did.
You're amazing.
I had that
Kids
costume.
Are the best.
Yeah, I was 17.
Oh, were you, though?
We'll never know. Number four.
Amazing.
Number four.
You know him. You probably don't love him.
He's a boulevard.
Literally. Now he is.
A boulevard of broken dreams.
Our first, now he is. Our first asphalt American mayor.
It is that ass's fault.
I forgot his first name.
Raymond
Tucker.
You forgot his first name.
So many people on this list are named Henry. Sorry.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Raymond unless it's Raymond Tucker.
Only held office for like a couple years,
and,
right?
And boy, howdy, did he do some stuff.
Over a decade.
I was 12. It was 12 years.
A decade plus a couple.
I'm being silly. I'm sorry.
He only was the third longest serving mayor in St. Louis history?
Well, he's tied for second.
Oh, he's okay.
Because Slay is the longest because he had 14 years, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Of 16 years. I apologize.
Raymond Tucker, responsible for a lot of downtown development. If, you know, I mean... You can call it that.
Development.
It was development.
Yeah.
He was heralded at his time.
He was.
In our research, we found that he was like ranked as like the 13th best mayor in American history.
There was a 1993 survey of historians by like the University of Chicago or something. Of mayors of major cities between 1820 and 1993, a handful of historians who I'm assuming don't have tenure and, you know, run around with hats with propellers on them.
Right.
Decided that he was the 13th best.
I wonder
if like Robert Moses is on their list, you know, like,
I mean, and this, so a lot of this, speaking of Robert Moses, if you don't know Robert Moses, the, architect of all the highways that destroyed black neighborhoods in New York, set New York back in terms of transit and in terms of, you know, diverse development in so many different ways, many, many years. Robert Moses, bad dude. We don't like him. Tucker But Moses was like part of a larger, you know, culture in America at the time that was very highway focused, very, you know, not really giving a crap about.
And he was able to cause so much destruction. I know I threw off hand in this comment. He wasn't a mayor. He was an urban planner.
There was a wider culture in America that, you know, was largely destroying, you know, marginalized communities at the time. St. Louis was no exception to that. And Mayor Tucker was in office while all that was happening. If you're downtown and you're like, wow, there's a lot of new buildings down here. In large swaths of, let's say, downtown West, and the casino on the north side of like Cleese Landing, all that stuff, the huge interchanges, the 55-44 interchange, the big 70 I-70 corridor that goes straight through downtown. If you remember Mill Creek Valley, if you're old enough to remember that, Mayor Tucker destroyed all of that. And you know what the paper said at the time? Boo, Mayor Tucker, you suck. Just kidding. They were like, woo, 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 positive development for St. Louis. Go, 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 Mayor Tucker, you're the best. And that's why in 1993, I'm sure, he was like, wow, 13th best mayor of all time. We were, George W. Bush was just president, the first one. And we are still more majority people, and we miss the good times. And we don't miss him. We don't miss him anymore. Mayor Tucker was all that. Set us back in
what
terms
are, what
of
are some of the, what are some time. Of the big hits here? We got, I mean, you said
Mill Creek Valley. He leveled Mill Creek Valley to make room for a bunch of stuff in downtown West, which most of which isn't there anymore. We've leveled a neighborhood to level another neighborhood to put what's there now, which does include the soccer stadium.
Yep.
And a bunch of those like Soviet looking apartments downtown that they're perpetually painting.
They're always changing the color.
They really are.
Look, this one's orange now and this one's purple. They're all different colors.
But that used to be, historically black neighborhood, historically like blue collar neighborhood. And from all people talking about history that were there and knew it, it seems like a place that people really loved and that wasn't as run down as people said it was. Yeah. And Mayor Tucker was responsible for leveling that, as well as several other things, one of which we'll get to later on this list in a bit of synergy.
Yeah. Whoa. He opposed the borough plan, too.
I came up with this idea independently.
Yes.
Upon moving to St. Louis.
Many of us have.
Because I'm not saying this wasn't me saying, hey, look how smart I am.
No,
like the obvious thing to do.
Right. It's a common theme that many people hold. Like,
it's like you want to keep your elective structures in your city. You want to keep your city's culture and history and have them be like separate from something else. Yeah. Make it a borough.
Yeah.
Make it a borough.
Still have a comptroller. It's a comptroller instead of a mayor. Yeah. And you can still have all the things you want. You can still have your little secluded school districts, but we can share the taxes.
Yeah.
And we can move stuff around the area easier.
Let me say that again. You can share the taxes.
But what would Huntley do?
Probably not share the taxes because they avoid them.
They'd secede from the union.
No, they don't. No, that's a really good point. They don't have taxes. They completely avoid them.
That's fair.
When talking about executives of any, you know, geopolitical area through history and like talking about like the major historical things that happened, like you got to suss out like which things are because of them being mayor, governor, president, whatever, and which things are things that just happened. Because if you attribute everything that happened in an area to the people who were in, you know, the executive in power at the time, you could say that Richard Nixon did some of the best work to catalyze the music industry because he was in charge when the Kent State shootings happened, and Mark Mothersbaugh was at Kent State when those happened, and the events of that day really, you know, caused him to want to take on kind of like an activist music role, and that's why we have the 80s hit Whip It. Thanks, Devo. Richard Nixon.
Hold on.
Thanks, Richard Nixon.
What?
Devo
exists because Richard Nixon was president when the National Guard went in and shot four kids.
Are you for real?
Yep.
Yeah.
Evidence as to we can't always blame what happens during a person's administration on that administration because they're not usually out there doing the work. We're saving that for number five. Number two
is named after a city in Missouri, a little bit ways down 44.
Our first candy American,
the
mayor.
The mayor that we have liked the most that is dead, at least from what we know, right? Of course, you can only know so much.
And you could also, very clear. One, you can only know so much. Two, you can only know so much in several hours of research.
We've researched this. I've researched these guys heavily.
I balk at saying this guy was good because we don't know enough about
correct.
His personal life.
We're not
life.
Saying this guy was good. But it's not what we're
this
doing
was,
here.
This was the 1910s in America. What? And we're talking about Mr. Rollo Wells, a.k.a. Rollo, yeah. First candy American president.
I feel like, imagine if my hair is up a little bit, all right? Let's imagine if my hair is a little shorter. Do I kind of look like Rollo?
Yeah, you kind of do.
Hold on.
There it is.
I got to look like all of my family died of dysentery.
You got to look like you haven't seen an iPhone.
Oh. I'd be so much happier.
Why do we like him so much?
Rollo was the mayor of St. Louis from 1901 to 1909. During that time, you can probably think, oh, he was mayor during the World's Fair of St. Louis and the Olympics held in St. Louis. Yes, a lot of the planning for that was done a little bit before that. Most of it was done during his time. Obviously, that set St. Louis on fire. And there was a lot of work done on public transit while he was here as well. Like, our big dig was done as kind of like a little bit of an exhibition of sorts. Now, that kind of started around like 1896, but he saw it through Forest Park all the way from
our subway. That's right.
The subway from Skinker to King's Highway was done by the World's Fair. And then
basically
after the
under
World's
Lindell,
Fair.
Right?
Yeah, under Lindell. And then all the way down Lindell was a tunnel all the way to 4th Street after that. Wow. And he saw that's a subway system. By the way, that's not the current route of the subway system in St. Louis.
No, not like, even a little bit.
That means, I don't know if this is true, is there still a tunnel under Lindell?
I'm sure there's
downtown.
I'm sure there's some
I
want to
know. Somebody tell us with more information.
We are not condoning
going
in there. Yeah, don't definitely don't do that.
You definitely won't
see me down there. Yeah. He was a guy.
But the biggest thing, he was really, really into public spaces, which is why he cared so much about Forest Park. He built city playgrounds and public bathrooms. He built Fairground Park into like what it was. And then you can thank this man for the apotheosis.
Ooh.
Like the greatest statue we have in St. Louis. It's like the icon of St. Louis. The icon. Like our freaking logo. You know? There. You could thank that man for this.
And that's why we like him. He made a horse.
He made a bronze. Is it bronze?
Also, it has balls.
Lots of statues have...
Yeah, I don't feel like...
Do a lot of statues have balls?
A lot of horses are castrated.
Yeah, but they
dude,
took the time
the
to
bull.
Put
you know the
big
bull,
balls on
the
this.
Bull in Wall Street?
Has balls?
Yeah, everybody goes up to and rubs them.
Really?
Yes.
This is a part of American culture that I did not know.
Why do you think it's like grab the bull by the balls, not grab the bull by the horn? That's like a Wall Street thing.
That's not the
Why
phrase.
Why am I doing
David?
This motion?
David, the phrase is not grab the bull by the...
It is for Wall Street, is what I'm saying. That's a saying on
Wall Street. Wall Street tech bros that watch this.
Comment below.
Comment below and tell us if you grab the bull by the balls.
So Rollo Wells, we don't think he was that bad. Probably.
He was the least bad mayor we could find.
Tell us your least bad mayor that you could find.
Number five.
Who is our least favorite man?
And it's not even close. Henry Overstolz.
Not even freaking close. Hold on. I mean, you could definitely pull up an image of him. Or in our
zoom
lovely
in
book,
on this on
a
this
divided,
guy.
A divided city. He is a prominent picture in a book called Divided City. All right? This man that looks like his name should be Overture. And not
he looks like
Overholtz.
He does look like a he does look like an old timey composer. Our first to go along with my bit, our first German American mayor And he was.
Yes, first German-American mayor. Yeah, a lot of Irish.
He was from Germany.
Constituents before that.
So we happen to know a guy.
We do?
Also named Colin.
Oh, yes.
I'm a shout-out. Shout-out Colin McLaughlin. Go see his play. Go see his play about the 1877 general strike. It's called 1877. It's good, and it involves this guy. I called him before this, and I was like,
Give me the dirt.
Overstolz is the worst mayor. We know that. Give me some dirt that's not like out there, because this guy has deep dive about this guy. So Overstolz was the mayor during the 1877 railroad and then general strike in St. Louis. One of these great factoids about St. Louis that a lot of people don't know. We have the only general strike in the history of ever in America.
What's a general strike?
A general strike is when like all the different
unions.
Yeah, and often like not even formally organized unions, where it's like all laborers.
I was gonna say different sectors. All the different sectors walk out together.
Of the economy, but like, you know, all laborers kind of like get organized enough to say, like, hey, we're all going to come together over an issue and stop working until we get what we want.
Correct. So this is,
and you might be fooled by Overstolz. He ran as an independent.
Ooh.
And you might be like, whoa, how progressive? Nope. Nope. Not very progressive.
So it's less about his politics and more about his absolute thirst for violence.
Yeah.
He has been quoted by Department of Public Safety people from that day in his office that talked about his lust for violence. He was quoted as saying that he doesn't want to arrest the striking people in the general strike. He wanted to kill them. And he was quoted as several times of saying this. Now, we talked about how mayors...
Hyperbole, surely.
Oh, no. So we talked about how mayors don't get out there and usually do the job. Overstolz, he's our guy.
He's a man of his word.
He led a civilian militia that was comprised largely of Union and Confederate. It was led by Union and Confederate generals, a lot of soldiers. They were all armed to break up Schuyler's Hall, which was a major meeting point during the general strike. During the railroad strike, before it became the general strike. And led them down there, busted up the place. And that's crazy. He led 600 people on a march from City Hall himself with guns to go break up a strike.
Could you imagine that?
Could you imagine like right?
Stay right there. Stay right there.
I don't know what they thought they were going to do.
Oh, damn it. They moved.
It also was a little bit of a stretch to say, this is from Colin again, a little bit of a stretch to say that he was one of the founders of the Veiled Prophet. But one of his good friends was Alonzo Slayback, who basically founded the Veiled Prophet. And Overstolz was like, let's face it, definitely in the room while it was all happening. Yeah. He's avowed racist. A lot of stuff out there that says it from his mouth. Avowed anti-labor. If the march of the civilian militia wasn't enough to prove that, he was that.
Can we remind people that this is about nearly the exact same amount of time removed from slavery being abolished as we are now to gay rights and gay marriage being
so this is hotly
accepted.
People still were very, very, very hot on this topic.
You know plenty of people that are still vastly against gay marriage.
And Overstolz was one of those people.
Was one of those people then. For slavery.
Yeah, it's wild.
Right. That's what we're dealing with here.
Also worth noting, just as a little bit of synergy, Schuyler's Hall, which ended up being in a historically black neighborhood as World War II ended, white flight was happening, the North Side was becoming, the black neighborhood, historically black neighborhood that it was today.
Yeah. Still there?
No. It was demolished in 1956 to make room for I-70.
Dude,
by, you guessed
it, Highway Act of 1956! I hate you, Eisenhower!
Raymond Tucker,
everybody.
Oh, I hate Eisenhower, too.
I used to say I liked him.
Yeah, we used to say a lot of things. I used to live on Ronald Reagan Drive.
I used to live on George Bush Drive.
And I was like, and I hung it in my room as a child.
I didn't do that.
And it was like, Ronald Reagan Drive. And then all of my family was like, that was the best president that ever existed. And I was like, yay. And then I And then I saw facts.
Then you got better.
And then I saw science
and then
reason.
He took a puff of weed.
Yeah. And then,
I will say, it cleared my mind a little.
Oh, boy.
I didn't become and so that, ranty.
And that's overarching.
And that was 31425, and that's our show, baby.
Oh, man.
Let's get some better mayors.
And this was Overarching. Overarching is recorded at Fly North Theatricals in residence with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation here in sunny Grand Center, St. Louis. You can check us out on social media at Overarching ST Lewis. I'm Colin.
I'm David.
And I'm Brad.
This was